Hello and welcome to the first episode of Corporate Buzz for the year 2021. I'm your host Kirtana Tiwari, wishing all your listeners a happy new year. As usual, I have Money Control's Corporate Bureau Chief Prince Thomas with me. Hi Prince, welcome to the show and happy new year to you.
Hi Kirtana, thank you so much. Wish you also a happy new year and all our listeners a great year ahead.
Yes, hope it would be a prosperous and happy new year for all people and most of all a year of recovery from the pandemic.
Yeah, I know, because generally when you say happy new year, it's just like a formality, right? Happy new year. But this time I think people really mean it.
Exactly.
And hope it turns out like that.
Yeah. So while you're talking about that, now as usual, the first major event that everyone looks to is the union budget. And definitely this year we are going to talk lots about healthcare and the pharma sector.
So that's right.
Can you explain what kind of expectations are there from healthcare companies and also the pharma companies?
You know, what actually COVID has done through its destruction has exposed the frailty of Indian healthcare. You know, not that one didn't know that India's healthcare infrastructure is poor, but then one never knew how bad it was. And I think through these 9 months, we realized, because especially for those who live in the smaller cities, towns, and villages, access to healthcare has been a great, huge challenge in these 9 months. And we ourselves in Money Control, I think we have chronicled stories of people who faced immense challenges of getting admitted once they were tested positive, you know, running from one hospital to the other, some in many hospitals not having enough beds for them,
right,
not enough ventilators or ICUs. So I think these 6 months, 9 months have been very, very revealing in that way. I think already there was criticism that India was not spending enough when you look at the health spend in terms of percentage of the GDP.
Right.
I think we are much lower than all other major economies. I think that has been exposed. And I think that's why the call has been now to increase that spend. Because what's happening is in the cities, especially from among the middle class, upper middle class, people have insurance. Many of the times the salaried professionals, they have insurance from their employers. So many of them are covered. And in the cities, you know, especially in the metros or in the second tier cities or even third tier, healthcare is decent. It can be expensive, but still it is there. But beyond that, and that's where most of India lives even now. So, and there the, I think there's a huge shortage of quality healthcare, of doctors, nurses, frontline health workers, enough beds, and the infrastructure in many of these hospitals are very creaky. You know, many of the equipment don't even work properly. So I think that's been exposed, and that's one thing the budget would do well to focus on. I think many of the healthcare companies and senior execs have called for better spending from the government on healthcare. So one, as a percent of the GDP, that can go up. And second, incentives for, say, healthcare companies like the hospitals. Most of them are concentrated on in the cities. And that's because for them, that's where the market is. The paying power reduces drastically once you go into the interiors. Now, can the government do something to promote or incentivize these companies to set up hospitals in the smaller towns and you know, semi-urban rural areas? And that would have to come with some kind of funding. It could be a viability gap funding. It could be some kind of incentives in terms of tax structures. But some incentives have to be there for the healthcare companies to set up hospitals in these areas. Many of them are listed, so they won't take up an investment plan unless it has a proper ROI and they know that, you know, they can break even within so much time. So unless they get a backing from the government, they may not be ready to spend to set up hospitals in the smaller areas. So they would need a push from the government. So that is something also that the budget could do. So I think these two areas are going to be very important, and surely we are hopeful that you know, the finance minister and the budget and the government will focus on these areas.
Right. And what about for the pharma companies?
I think the pharma companies, I think it goes into the manufacturing sector. So you already seen that pharmaceutical is one of the sectors which has been included in the whole PLI scheme. I think, so already there is a provision for the pharma companies to make the most of it. Mm-hmm. The talk now is that the government may add to that PLI scheme. Probably the money that's been sanctioned will be increased, or there could be some similar other incentives for the pharma companies to, you know, set up more of these manufacturing units in India. The main problem for India is that, and it was exposed very, very directly during the COVID, was the dependence on China. Mm-hmm. For all the raw materials. Now, that is being partially being kind of being met. Now, we see there's a lot more talk about companies setting up these units in India itself. And it will also help not just for the domestic consumption, also for the export, because internationally also almost all pharmaceutical companies are trying to diversify their risk against the Chinese market. So they're also looking at options where they can set up manufacturing bases. So India can be surely one of the options.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the budget will take ahead the PLI scheme and do something more for the Indian pharma companies to benefit.
And while we're still talking about sectors that were affected by COVID, one was the hospitality sector. And will we see any announcements in the budget regarding that?
I think you're right. You know, the budget, the hospitality, travel sector, aviation, the whole travel ecosystem was the most impacted. You know, they were the first ones to get impacted. And they are mostly the slowest to recover also.
Mm-hmm.
So you had hospitals, not hospitals, the hotels shutting down. You had travel agents saying that they may go out of business. Many have. And the airlines have barely managed, most of them, to stay afloat. So I think the biggest problem for them is funding. Yes, the moratorium arrangement was there from the RBI. And, you know, but what they would be looking is for a little more incentive from the government. Because if you look internationally,
mm-hmm.
If you look at the airlines itself, many of the major airlines got direct funding or financial aid from the government. Now, India is not a developed nation like those in the Europe or the United States for, you know, that you can dole out financial aid to the companies directly. But can the government do something else to help them restructure their debt or, you know, improve funding? The problem here is that liquidity is not a problem in the Indian economy right now. I think banks have enough money to lend. The problem is, are they willing to lend to an industry like aviation or a travel or hotel, which has been the most impacted? You know, how can the government incentivize banks to lend to these sectors?
Mm-hmm.
And is there any other way in terms of, see, many of these companies, say for the hotels, all the major five-star hotels or anyone, they have many, many taxes and licenses costs that they have to pay every year. Now, can the government do something to probably give them a holiday in terms of payment of these kind of taxes or license fees, things like that? So can that be one of the incentives that the government brings? So there are many options. It's very much up to the government. The hope is that government identifies this travel ecosystem as one of the most impacted sectors and then takes upon itself to come up with incentives and schemes to help the companies in these sectors.
And while we are still talking about the budget, Prince, we had an article on Money Control saying that CEOs from corporate India are looking to the budget for a new investment cycle. What does it actually mean?
So basically, you have seen that through the COVID months, most of the companies, I mean, one, they completely shut their units. And second, when they did revive, while the capacity utilization have gone up, no one is really investing. You know, in the sense, the capex, even the capex outlay has been reduced by many companies. Some of them have, brought that capex plan back. But many of them, most of them are still saying that, you know, they may not invest as much as they would have envisaged. Now, mm-hmm. can the government do something to really kick off this investment cycle is what the companies are saying. And this is extremely important, not just because the company should start producing, but also generation of jobs. You know, we have lost millions of jobs in these months. Some of them have recovered, but many of the people still are out of job. You know, so this kicking back of the investment cycle is very, very important from a job generation point of view also.
Okay.
So what is it that the government can do to push the companies to start investing again? And it's not just capex here, but also to expand capacities, you know, expand market, manufacturing facilities, so many things. So that is probably what everyone is looking at. See, all the CEOs and all the companies know that next year, next financial year is what I mean, would be a better growth, you know, we'll see higher growth because 2020-21 FY, basically it was the whole GDP contracted, so it was, the base is very low.
Right.
So obviously the growth will be higher, but how much more will it take for us to go back to the pre-COVID level is the key. And you should remember that already India was, you know, on the slowing down the economy even before COVID. You know, our GDP growth rate had been coming down. Mm-hmm. So the key is to not just go back to the pre-COVID level. That is, I think, the basic need now, but also to go back to the higher growth path. And for all that, you would need money and you would need companies to start investing. And that is something that the all the industries and the entrepreneurs, CEOs will be looking forward to for the budget.
Right. And I'm sure all eyes are on the budget right now, even though it's a month away, because it will definitely boost the growth in India.
Yeah, you know, because so there's a huge debate that is budget as critical as it used to be before.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, you know, credence to that argument. But I think this year, because of the COVID and given the situation that we're in, and despite so many announcements and press conferences that the finance minister has addressed through these months,
mm-hmm.
I think still this time, I think budget has little more importance, much more importance than it would have in the last couple of years.
Right. We'll constantly be talking more about the budget over the next month.
Sure.
Now, moving on to some other topics, Prince, it has been announced that vaccination dry runs are expected to happen from tomorrow in India,
mm-hmm.
in the various states. And what exactly will private pharma companies, what kind of role will they play in this kind of dry run?
Some of the dry run, I guess, had already started. A couple of days has happened. Some of the states, I think, started with 3-4 states. And now it's been scaled up to other states too. I think pharma companies, healthcare companies by themselves can do, but they can't do enough. I think it is the whole ecosystem that has to come together.
Right.
Now, pharma companies, those who are doing, the manufacturing, who have got contract manufacturing for the vaccines, be it the Russian vaccine or what Serum is making, I think, the critical thing is they will be supplying it. You know, they will be supplying the vaccine, so the whole chain will start from there.
Right.
And for them, the most critical thing is to meet the demand. We are talking about 30 crore people being vaccinated in the first leg,
yes.
which is still July. And which means that, and probably most of the vaccines, you will need two doses. So we're talking about 60 crore doses, 600 million doses. And I think for this kind of a demand, the pharma companies will have to really scale up their capacities. We talked about the budget. I wonder if the finance minister would give some incentives for the pharma companies to really set up, scale up these, their manufacturing capacities for rolling out the vaccine. That could be one thing that the budget would say. And that's where the role of pharma companies will become very critical. During the vaccine rollout, so so that's where the pharma companies would coming. Their role would be during the vaccine rollout.
Okay. Also, we are also keeping our fingers crossed because today, as we speak, they are discussing the emergency authorization of the Oxford vaccine. So we'll see how things pan out.
Yes. So there is Oxford and there is also Bharat Biotech.
Okay.
So both of them, and probably we would see some announcement very shortly. And I think the whole dry run has been, being scaled up because of that. Because once you get the permission from the regulator, the pharma companies and some of the companies, including Serum, has already created a stock.
Mm-hmm.
So they will immediately start supplying. And the whole ecosystem, starting from the pharma companies to the last leg, where the clinics will be administrating the vaccines to the people. That ecosystem infrastructure has to come in place. And that's pretty critical. So that's where we are at the moment.
Right. And it's definitely a good note that we're starting the year with.
Yes, very much. I think that's a vaccine is what everyone is looking forward to. I mean, generally, people in general, companies, stock market, investors, everyone.
Yes. Now, moving on to another interesting topic that happened, towards the end of last year, which was Brexit, mm-hmm. and it's officially over, and, Britain has left the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean for Indian companies which are based out of UK and Britain?
There is considerable India presence in both in UK and Europe.
Right.
Be it the IT companies, because for IT companies after the US, it's the UK and Europe which are the biggest markets. So IT companies, be it the auto companies, sure, Tata Motors is there, which has Jaguar and Land Rover. But even the other auto companies also have a lot of presence in Europe and UK. Mm-hmm. Then you have something, you have steel companies. So you have companies across sectors who have some or the other presence in UK and Europe. So right now, what they would take heart from is the understanding between the two sides, which is UK and Europe, that there would be a free trade, which means that, there would be a zero custom duty over the trade between the two areas, mm-hmm. and there wouldn't be any quotas that would be imposed. So I think the hope is that, this wouldn't affect trade, and the trade and movement of people can happen without any barrier. And the thing is, the good thing is also that, this has been in the making for a while, for 3-4 years.
Yeah.
So companies have been preparing for this. They have been preparing for the eventualities. Some of them did hold back their investment because it was unsure how this is going to turn out to be. Mm-hmm. But now that the uncertainty is over, we know what it's going to look like. I think they can start, taking decisions accordingly.
Okay.
Good thing right now, I think, is that the movement of goods and people may not be that hampered as one would have feared.
Right. Thank you, Prince, for all these details.
Welcome, Kirtna.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of Corporate Buzz. Since it's the first episode of 2021, I'd like to ask if you have any other queries or suggestions for us, or if you have any other topics you want us to cover, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.